Oh, hey, sorry I'm late, man.
Yeah, no worries.
Crosstown traffic is just terrible. Can I get you anything? You want a scone or coffee or anything?
A scone? Yeah, let's get a scone.
Okay.
Why not? All right.
Hold on. Be right back. They have a blueberry, raspberry, cranberry.
Great.
Which one?
Blueberry.
All right. Be right back.
This is Cornfeld and Andrews, the radio plays. Episode 4, Friendship Downgrade.
One blueberry scone for you. My friend and I went for the raspberry.
Nice.
Things well? Things good?
Yeah, things are busy. Busy. Busy, busy, busy. Yeah, yeah. How about you?
Things are okay. I'm actually in a bit of a downshift mode.
Nice.
Yeah,
You got to downshift sometimes, otherwise you break the engine.
Yeah, I'm glad you understand that. I'm in a bit of a transitional phase right now. Actually, that's why I wanted to talk to you. Look, this is probably a weird conversation because I don't know that there's a lot of general context. Culturally for this kind of conversation. You know, I think this kind of conversation that I want to have with you right now is not part of kind of the cultural, wider cultural kind of rules for the way that people relate to each other, which, you know, in just as an aside, I think is actually kind of one of the problems. But I'll get into that. That's a side thing that we'll tie into. But basically, thank you for you know, agreeing to take some time out of your day and hang out. I'm making some transitions in my life. I'm getting off the antidepressants, taking a good sort of hard look at where change is possible in my life to kind of get myself in a good place. And, well, there's no easy way to say this. I like you very much, but I don't consider the level of our friendship equal to the amount of time that we actually encounter each other. And so I would like to officially downgrade our friendship into a more marginal friendship. This is part of reorganizing my life and just being very, very direct, you know, and saying exactly what I want, exactly how I feel, while minimizing the hurt I may cause others, while also recognizing that a certain amount of hurt is invariably, you know, on the table. I feel that we graduated from a sort of nodding hello kind of casual friendship into a lunch and coffee friendship very, very quickly. And it's just working out that, frankly, us hanging out and having lengthy conversations is a strain for me. I'm sure you're feeling it too. Nothing wrong with you or me.
Not really.
You're not feeling it strained?
Not particularly. Yeah, yeah, man. Whatever. Whatever works for you. I feel like you kept asking me for lunch.
I'm a people pleaser.
Yeah.
And so when you elevate,
and I'll lunch with anybody at the office. So I just was like, oh, sure, you know, he's a lunch guy.
Interesting.
But I think just ask me to lunch less frequently, and we should be good. Do you still want to occasionally do a lunch or coffee, or you're feeling a?
You know, right now I'm going to say no, but then we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. I think.
Well, let's. Let's say the ball's in your court. I can tell that you're going through something.
I'm going through, well, you know what I'm going through, and you're going to...
I don't need all the details of
I'm not going to give you all the details.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give all the details. Sure. Let's just say I've had a wake-up call.
Sure.
I've had a wake-up call on the nature of my particular kind of neurotic sickness, and it just sort of occurred to me... you know, that it's being addressed primarily as either a medical issue or as a me issue. And while there is some truth to it being both a medical and a me issue, it's also the larger issue that, you know, my neuroses are reflective of sort of larger social trends. And, you know, when you live in a sick culture, you know, it stands to reason not only that you yourself, you know, will be sick, but that sickness will be regarded as wellness. And it just, I've had a major, major wake-up call that so much of the root of my neurosis is just feeling this urgent desire to play by other people's rules. And I'm not your rules. You have great rules, you know, unspoken rules. But your rules are, you know, I'm with your rules. But I mean, society sort of general rules.
Can I jump in there? You know, it's so you're going off your meds.
I'd really, just to assert myself a little bit, I'd really prefer you didn't jump in, because that's actually one of the things that, that does sort of vaguely irritate me about lunches with you, is you ask, can I jump in, but then you jump in anyways if the question is just a formality. It really never gives me any chance to say, no, I'd rather you don't jump in. So I'm just going to say, I don't want to hear what you have to say next. God, that feels good. Not to you. I mean, I don't mean that as a way to hurt, but just it feels good to say out loud, to say something that I know is wrong, but also that is right. You know, right as in it reflects how I feel, but wrong as in, you know, it's not a polite thing to say.
To be quite frank, we're not that close. Like, we lunch, but we mostly chat about work stuff.
Right. And I hate that. Now, not you. Sure. You're very nice, but I hate
that. Let me finish. Do you have people in your life who you're close to who maybe know that you're going off your medication? Are you still seeing your therapist? You seem a little manic, you know? I just want to make sure that you're okay, because change can be good, but also bad.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm not seeing my therapist because, frankly, seeing my therapist meant once every 2 months sitting in a room for 5 minutes and just having my prescription updated, which I don't consider seeing a therapist. I consider that, you know, being written off, frankly.
That sounds like the work of a psychiatrist.
Yeah, well, that's what my insurance could get me.
Gotcha.
The whole big HR thing, the HR actually stopped me from seeing a talking therapist. I was relegated to having to call one of those 800 numbers, you know.
Okay.
But it turns out those numbers are meant more for like emergency, like acute critical mental health emergencies, which I'm not having. I'm just basically neurotic.
You might be having an acute mental health emergency.
It's possible. It is possible. I'll keep that on the table. It's possible. But I also sort of feel just a rush of relief. Just a rush of relief.
Concern.
Oh, that's fair. But I would just counter that by saying, however, since you don't know me very well, the concern may simply just be misplaced. Because the concern may be that I'm not acting in the sort of conditioned way that I have been typically acting for the last 38 years of my life.
Let me give you some examples, a la the workshop we all did at work about, you know, feedback examples, just so I can try to flex that muscle. A lot of people in here are looking at, I think us, but maybe you, which is not bad per se. When you went to get the scones, you didn't actually order the scones. You just reached over the counter and into the scone case.
I'll let you finish it up, and I'll tell you why when you're done, why I did that.
Okay. I think, you know, some of that stuff is maybe feels like, oh, maybe this person is not doing well, which is totally fine. I mean, we all don't do well sometimes. I just want to make sure that you get better, because it's better to be better, and it's less good to be doing bad.
I respect that. 3 points.
I'm not good at this.
No. Three points to counter that. Number one, the scone incident has to do with the fact that I was charged for a scone on Monday that I did not buy. You saw that. I showed you the receipt. I was charged for the scone on Monday that I did not buy. I didn't order and I didn't get a scone, but I was charged for a scone, probably the person before me online, in some sort of hideous inverse pay it forward. As in not pay it forward, but pass it on to the next person issue. Maybe it wasn't deliberate on their part. Maybe it was an accident. But the point is, I'm such a deeply neurotic person that instead of standing up for myself, I just paid for the scone. And just to kind of set things right for me emotionally, I wanted to counterbalance that by just doing something that I never do, which is to just take the scone, because I consider I already paid for it in a sense. Now, the more mature thing, the centralized thing, the equilibrated behavior would be, of course, to simply express my resentment at having been charged for something I didn't pay for. And the next time it happens, I will. But right now, I had to set the scales right first. That's one. Number two, I appreciate the sense of concern that you are showing me. And honestly, if we were deeper, truer, closer friends, I would be receptive to listening to it. But the fact of the matter is, I do consider that our friendship or our relationship, while very friendly, is mostly a sort of formality as we're both coping with just getting through a day that's made up of a near infinite amount of irritating minutiae that we're just trying to navigate. Point number three, it is possible that I'm unwell, but I would simply counter that by saying that when are in a culture where unwellness itself is considered as wellness, just swallowing it and accepting the bullshit that we have to accept, those fucking workshops. If I have to do another one of those fucking workshops,
sure, yeah,
I'm going to. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to move to a farm, and I'm going to begin growing my own vegetables.
That sounds fine.
I'm
going
to unhook myself. That's exactly because you thought I was going to say something violent and insane. And my point is, this is not liberating rage in me. This is liberating a sense of new possibilities I've never thought of before. And they have nothing to do with expressing resentment. They have everything to do with simply embracing possibilities. But in order to embrace those possibilities, first, I need to remove myself from both the unhealthy relationships in my life, which frankly, I don't have many unhealthy relationships. All of my relationships are simply formalities. And I'm realizing how oppressive that is because I'm such a people pleaser. I have such a deep.
I'm going to jump in there. I'm remembering that you do
just
a little
for a second because I didn't complete my thought. I actually didn't finish my thought, and you're jumping
it,
in before
it feels
I
like the thought might go on indeterminately. You know,
it feels right like now, I'll end it right now. I'm quitting. I can't take this anymore.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
I'm remembering. I support that, but I'm remembering you're into not in an unhealthy way, but you dabble in the gambling, right, in the daily fantasy kind of space, yeah.
I have a response, but go on.
Okay, I just want to use an example, like maybe a metaphor that might resonate. You know, like hedging your bet, right? You make a bet for San Francisco to win the Super Bowl early in the year, right? And then they go all the way, they make it to the Super Bowl, and then you can hedge that bet by betting an equal amount, a halved amount on, let's say, Kansas City to win in the actual game. And because you've got that earlier bet, you're now maybe not gonna, you're gonna lose at least one of the bets, but you can guarantee 100% chance of winning half of that money, right? I feel like maybe might be a good moment to just hedge your bets before you do anything like quit your job or, you know, fully go off medication or leave your significant other and move to a farm. Maybe just if you think that you might be unwell, you should just out of caution. I think, you know, some of this sounds great, but maybe just hedge your bets. Maybe go talk to somebody, you know, check in with your loved ones, because I don't know that I qualify. But if you're not sick, then great, and all this will be good. But if you are unwell, boy, it's a lot of stuff to do, you know, to quit and to move and to be stealing stuff. You know, I would maybe just hedge that bet.
Well, the scone was stolen from me before I stole it.
I understand that.
I liberated the stone in a sort of self-referential Robin Hood
thing. In the eyes of the law, there is no liberating scones.
Well, I suppose the law is just an unspoken contractual agreement that people subscribe to, which mostly I support.
It's a written down contractual agreement.
I've never seen it written anywhere. You know, have you actually seen the law? I know it exists.
Yeah, you can go. You can look it up.
You've looked it at the law?
No, but lawyers do.
I mean, I'm not questioning the law. You know, I'm for the law.
I feel very confident that it's written down somewhere.
Well, I do too. But don't you find that interesting that you know, we subscribe to this thing that we've never even looked at? You know,
it's mildly interesting.
Well, I just find it's an article of faith. It has psychological power over us. You know, but neither here. I'm not questioning the law. I'm for the law. I don't want you to think I'm anti-law. You know, I guess 2 points, 3 points, 2 points.
Let's go 1 point.
All right, let me pick which point I want to make. Okay. Well, I guess. I'm having a hard time right now understanding who's qualified to diagnose me as unwell. If I were behaving in some sort of deranged fashion, and not just talking fast or expressing enthusiasm for the first time in my adult life, but you know, if I were behaving in some sort of deranged way that was threatening to people or in any way causing harm or the potential for harm, then I can see that a conversation would be had. But without that behavior, I just, because I'm talking fast and feeling enthusiasm for, once again, the first time in my adult life, I don't know who's in a qualified position to diagnose me as unwell, apart from
we have a name for that. You know,
what is that name?
Mania.
Well, that's an interesting catch-all name. mania can be used to describe many things that we feel uncomfortable with, including, for example, a sheep who stands up and realizes that all the rest of the sheep are simply being led to the slaughter. Would you call that a manic sheep? If that sheep stood up and suddenly started waving its arms and saying, hey, wait a minute, we're being led to a slaughterhouse, would you say that sheep is manic? Some people might, because that sheep is you know, rocking the boat. And I don't mean, you know, I'm not rocking any boat. I'm not trying to change culture. I'm just simply waking up to the fact that life is short. And I do think that this
Look,
is it.
I have an 11:30, so I gotta. I sadly have to get back.
That's sad. This has been an engaging conversation, but you know, I'm happy to kind of end it here.
Yeah, I mean,
I just want you to know, I think you're a really good guy, Jim, and I think you're going to make some other office friend very, very happy. I really do. I think you're gonna find somebody at the office that's kind of like your lunch buddy, honestly.
Okay. Hey, man. Wish you the best.
Hey, wish you the best too. No need to wish me the best. Okay. We make our own luck.
Great.
Are you gonna eat that scone?
No.
Do you
mind?
Not.
Go. Yeah. Liberate this gun.
Friendship Downgrade was improvised by Lewis Kornfeld and Rick Andrews and produced by Lloydie James Lloyd.